The Holy Gospel according to Matthew, the 18th chapter.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Jesus said, "If another member of the church sins against you, go and point out the fault when the two of you are alone. If the member listens to you, you have regained that one. But if you are not listened to, take one or two others along with you, so that every word may be confirmed by the evidence of two or three witnesses. If the member refuses to listen to them, tell it to the church. And if the offender refuses to listen even to the church, let such a one be to you as a Gentile and a tax collector. Truly, I tell you, whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. Again, truly, I tell you, if two of you agree on earth about anything you ask, it will be done for you by my Father in heaven. For where two or three are gathered in my name, I am there among them." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
Please be seated. Alonzo Gullion, a 31-year-old from Lookfin, Texas, drove over 100 miles in order to get to Houston last week following Hurricane Harvey. Being a radio DJ for a community radio station and constantly using his show to get out the word, or as a fundraiser for various causes, Alonzo's quick trip to Houston was no surprise for his parents. With two friends and a borrowed boat, Alonzo went and explained that he had to go save lives. He had to go help people. He had to do something. So Alonzo and his friends became part of what has been called, I'm sure you've heard it before, the Cajun Navy, a massive gathering of private individuals and their personal watercraft, from fishing boats to jet skis. And the sole mission of this group was simple: getting people out of Houston alive. Volunteering one's boat and one's time, however, to be in this effort was not really your usual fishing trip down the river, because it was, in fact, very dangerous. Downed power lines, damaged buildings, and very powerful water currents, which continue to be obstacles even to this day. And tragically, Alonzo and his two friends, while searching a neighborhood for survivors, their boat got swept and got caught into a very powerful current and propelled them straight into a bridge, which capsized the boat that they were in. Alonzo and one of his other friends died in that accident. Owe no one anything except to love one another. For the one who loves another has fulfilled the law. The commandments: you shall not commit adultery, you shall not murder, you shall not steal, you shall not covet, and any other commandment are summed up in this word: love your neighbor as yourself, writes the Apostle Paul in his letter to the Romans in our New Testament lesson today. I've been thinking a lot this past week on this text and on what loving one's neighbor means. You know, love is a hard concept to understand fully, and I continue to grasp its impact in my own life. I remember talking with then recently retired Lutheran Pastor Len. I can't remember his last name, but I'm sure when you were working in the synod office, Tom, you remember Pastor Len from Kalispell. He had just retired from one of the churches in Kalispell, and he was a mentor to me while I worked at a t-shirt shop in Glacier National Park for a summer while in college. He talked about that now he is retired, and so it was just glorious to have his freedom. And he said he only now did weddings now that he was retired, and that he relied on his usual wedding sermon each time he would do a wedding. Though he would try to tailor it in some specific way to the couple he was marrying, this in-the-pocket sermon, shall we say, was centered around the Greek four types of love: agape, eros, philia, and storge. I thought about this a lot, and I thought that it was kind of genius that he had a pocket sermon with him. But now that I dwell on this a little bit later, especially in my career as a pastor, I wonder if separating love into categories, like Pastor Len did, and no offense to Pastor Len, who was a terrific pastor and mentor to me, but I wonder if separating love like this is really helpful for us in our time and in our place. Kind of like Pastor Len's sermon outlines, love seems to me more and more of one of those things like we like to separate ourselves from and put into a nice and neat little academic package. This type of love is a kissy romantic love, or this type of love is the friendship brotherly love, or this type of love is something else love, etc., etc. But maybe we, and as products of the Enlightenment, a movement which prided itself on separating human self from emotions in order to accomplish higher ideals, and we are all products of this, and maybe we do this type of separation subconsciously. Love, it seems, has become an academic exercise, something that maybe you talk about at the therapist office, but something that needs to be understood versus practiced. Send your card on Valentine's Day, or tell your spouse or partner, "I love you," but don't get too deep into the lovey-dovey stuff. And because of this separation, I think we like to have with love, it becomes harder than to comprehend Alonzo's radical action of saving his neighbor. Why and how could one be so moved to do such a thing? It doesn't make any logical sense. Maybe because Alonzo demonstrated love as something other than just a concept one understands. You know, there's a concept in Sufism, a mystic tradition that originally formed out of Islam, but likes to think itself as part of multiple faith traditions. And this concept is called ekatma. Ekatma, or as it's translated, oneness. Ekatma, or oneness, is seen as the true meaning and goal of love. The best way, I think, to describe it, and I had a friend who's actually a Sufi, who practices Sufi in Missoula, explain this to me. The best way to describe it is as the loss of walls or barriers. And she talked about it as, you know, the instant two become one. Ekatma is used commonly when referring in Sufism when one gets to the end of one's faith journey or path. They end toward the divine. And in Sufism, when you end your faith journey, you become in the total embrace of the divine, where you and God become one. But my friend also talked about that akatma is just, it's much, much more than just an end at one's faith journey. It is, she said, everywhere in life. She talked about it as, you know, akatma is the glue that holds different particles of atoms together. It is what differentiates and holds together the different cell walls and parts of cells and makes them work. Akatma, she says, is what is between a mother and her young. It is the building block of the universe. And it is understood as the holding of different pieces in life together as one. And that's crazy to me if you think about it. It took me a while to just kind of like process this conversation, because for a second, if we take that to the nth degree, that means that the very essence of life, the very thing that keeps us alive and together, the very thing that keeps this planet going, is love. I think this is how the Apostle Paul sees love as well. He writes, "Owe no one anything except to love one another." Now, what is he talking about here? Owe no one anything? What does that mean? Well, you see that Paul, the Apostle Paul, is living in a society where owing somebody something is always expected, right? You owe taxes to the empire, or you owe your allegiance to Caesar, or you owe your life to your family's honor, and so on and so on. So Paul's call to not owe someone anything is a pretty radical, crazy type of call in some ways. Maybe because Paul and Jesus, who says this too, that's where Paul got it, see something more basic. Loving one another isn't just some duty or academic exercise that we need to implement. It's what makes us, us. Living your life, being fully human, is living out oneness and love. And so it's no wonder then that Paul and Jesus say, of all the commandments and teachings of our faith, it all boils down to one thing: love your neighbor as yourself. Be one with your neighbor. Let nothing be a barrier between you and your neighbor. Alonzo understood this and has become, I believe, a model of the fullness of love that Christ and that Paul are talking about. But Alonzo also represents this oneness, I think, in a different way. You may have heard his name in news reports this last week, because Alonzo was enrolled in the Deferred Action for Childhood Arrivals program, or DACA. Alonzo was born in Mexico. His father is a current U.S. citizen. His mother is still living in Mexico, and he was carried over as a child when he was 4 years old. He's grown up in the United States, had grown up in the United States ever since. This DACA program was allowing him to go to school where he was currently enrolled at the time of his death. A program that has been needlessly canceled and which threatens over 800,000 individuals, such as Alonzo, mostly young adults, who know no other country as their home but this one. Friends, I believe that love not only is calling us in personal ways, but as a collective nation. We need to understand love as calling us to a radical oneness. We, as a people whose ancestors came here as immigrants, need to look at ourselves and ask, what is love? Is love calling an anchor, a guide that we keep coming back to over and over again in order to be more human? Or is it a nice image on a Hallmark card that we give to grandma? All the commandments are summed up in this word. Love your neighbor as yourself. We live in a scary and unpredictable time right now. Wildfires, hurricanes, Irma is hitting Florida right now, as a matter of fact. Political polarization, nuclear weapons. We need our neighbor right now. And they need us. We will not be able to solve these challenges without our neighbor, in fact. That is our calling as people of faith, I believe. May God walk with us as we strive to more deeply live out our humanity, our faith, our calling to Jesus Christ, and to break down walls in the name of love.